Any more old ladies? Well, it's my mic on. Have I put it on? Yeah, okay. This is a wonderful story in the early book of the Bible. Just so brilliant. And I just want to just take you through it, because there are so many lessons in this that it's just wonderful. Ah, could you just put the next slide on? I may have to ask you to do that. Next slide, thanks. All right, well, I'll just carry on, if that's okay. Otherwise, you really need to pray for people in the audiovisual. It's the most terrible thing when things go wrong, isn't it? There we are. But the context of this is the big picture. We need to understand where we are in the story. God has created a perfect universe. And then came the fall, when man and woman turned away from God, went their own way, and the relationship between men and women and God was totally broken. And we live in the consequences of that today in the 21st century. But right from the beginning, indeed before the beginning of the world, God knew this was going to happen and had a plan in place, a plan to rescue a relationship with Him. And He decided that He would start with a couple. And through that couple, the world would be influenced, because they would become a nation. And so He chose Abram and Sarai for His redemption plan. Next slide, thank you. And He gave Abraham a brilliant promise, and it was this, and it comes from Genesis 12. And I think we were studying this some weeks ago, and the Lord said to Abram, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. What a promise for a man who at this age was 75, his wife was 65. And the Lord says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I don't know if Abram understood this, but it was certainly a promise God gave him. And I will bless you, said Abram. I will make your name great, so that people will remember you and know you. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. And listen to this last sentence. All peoples on earth will be blessed by you, Abraham. That's a remarkable promise. And actually, that promise you need to keep in mind when you read the whole of the rest of Scripture, because it makes sense of what God is doing in the whole of the rest of the Bible. He is planning to bless people, and He is using a specific couple who will become a nation, and through that nation will come someone whom we now know as Christ, who will be a blessing to the whole of the world. Next slide, thank you. But time went by, and we go through three chapters in Genesis, and then the word of the Lord came to Abram again. And He said this, a son coming from your own body, Abram, will be your heir. You will father a son. They were childless as a couple, but the Lord said, you will father a son. And He said, next slide. The Lord didn't say next slide, but next slide. He said, look up to the heavens. Look up. Last night it was beautiful, wasn't it? It was clear sky last night. And He said, look up and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. They're uncountable. And so shall your offspring be, Abram. I want you to use your imagination that from you is going to come countless number of people. Next slide, thanks. 11 years went past, 75, 86 years old. Sarai, his wife, said, "Why don't we try another way? Here's my servant. Why don't you take my servant and Hagar and have a child through her?" Which is what they did. Now, that was apparently common custom in these days. Thing to do for a rich person to take his servant to be his wife as well as his inverted commas first wife. And she bore a son. She became pregnant and bore a son whose name was Ishmael. That, as you imagine, created a bit of tension in the family home. A bit of trouble. Next slide, thank you. And 13 further more years pass until Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 89. And again the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him and said, "I am God Almighty." Josh already mentioned this in the prayer. I am God Almighty. That word El Shaddai in the Hebrew means I am God, the mountain one. The one who is invincible and unchangeable, who you can look up to and he's always there. I am the powerful, all-powerful, almighty God. You have a responsibility, Abram. I want you to walk before me. Now, I didn't mean literally walk footsteps. He meant live in a way that honors me. I am God, the Almighty. And so we come to the chapter that we're at just now. Next slide, thank you. The two-way covenant that God further explains in Genesis 17. And the first 8 verses are about God's promises. Then God's requirements, verses 9 to 14. And Sarah's miracle son, 15 to 21. And Abraham's obedience, the last few verses. God's covenant is confirmed to Abraham. And he says that, "I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers, as I promised before." And in this chapter, 9 times over, God says, "My covenant." He was emphasizing that he instigated it. It wasn't Abraham and him sat down and together and decided, "Why don't we make a covenant?" God instigated it. It was his covenant. And he had the conditions. He had the promises. He was making a binding agreement with this man, Abram. And that is just remarkable that the eternal God took time to make a binding promise to his creature, Abram. Next slide, thanks. And we read this, that Abram fell face down. And God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you." Can you go to the next slide? Thank you. "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations." Many nations. Next slide, thank you. "No longer will you be called Abram," which means exalted father. That's interesting, isn't it? I wonder when he was given his name by his parents, by Terah and his wife, why they called Abram exalted father. There's a touch of prophecy there, I think. But God said, "I'm going to change your name to be Abraham," which means father of many nations. The name is very important in the scriptures. The Lord says this in Isaiah 43, "I've called you by your name." And God, in the early chapters of the Bible, often took people and he changed their names because he said, "I've got a purpose for you. In my will, you are going to be doing things for me, and I am changing your name." And when Saturday, remember Simon Peter meeting Jesus, and he met him, and he said, "I will call you Peter because you are a rock on which I will found my church." And that's, God changes our name. By that, he changes everything about us. That's what the word name in scriptures means, you, your whole self. And when God encounters you and changes you and takes you to be his child, he changes you, makes you new altogether. Next slide, thanks. I will make you very fruitful, he says. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you even. What a promise for this man who is on his face before God. Next slide. I will establish my covenant with you as an everlasting covenant. It will go on and on and on. And it's a covenant between you and your descendants, Abraham, after you, for the generations to come. So it doesn't just stop with you, Abraham. It goes on for generation after generation after generation. Next slide, thank you. And what is God's covenant? He sums it up by saying this: my covenant is to be your God and the God of your descendants. I am the Creator God, I'm the Almighty God, and I will be your God. I will go with you throughout your life. I will go with your descendants throughout their lives and through the nation, and I will be their God. Next slide, thanks. And what's more, the whole land of Canaan, where you are now walking as an alien and living as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you, and I will be their God too. I will be their God, and the same God is your God, is my God, this same God. Next slide, thank you. And then God said to Abram, here are the responses I want from you, Abram. As for you, you must keep my covenant. I have chosen you. You are mine already, he said. But now you are mine, I want you to listen to me. You and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, I want you to be obedient to me. Next slide, thank you. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep: every male amongst you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between you and me. Said the Lord, I want you to do what many of the nations round about do. The circumcision was a common practice, but usually was carried out when the child was reaching their teenage years to become an adult. And the Lord said, no, I want it to be different. I want you, when your child reaches the age of 8 days, next slide, thank you, every male among you who is 8 days old should be circumcised. And that includes your own families, but it also includes if you have bought slaves from other countries and they're living with you. Anybody in your household who is born a male child will be circumcised at 8 days. It was an outward sign that you belong to me. You already belong to me, but this is an outward sign to show, as it were, to the world that you belong to me. And everybody was to be included in that. Next slide, thank you. Whether born in your household, whether bought with money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Next slide, thank you. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. If a child is not circumcised, if you don't do that, then effectively you're saying he's not one of your family. He doesn't belong to God. You must make sure he is circumcised. And no exceptions allowed. Now, you and I might think this is very strange, but it was the custom of the day. And God was saying this. He was not saying, if you're circumcised, you will become my child. He was saying, you are my child, so I want you to be circumcised. It's an outward sign of what has already happened in your life. Sarah's miracle son, however, next slide, thank you. The next few verses introduce us to Sarah's side in this. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah, changing her name too. She is mine. She belongs to me. She has equal part in this promise, Abraham. And you are to call her Sarah, which means my princess. My princess. Next slide, thanks. I will bless her. I will bless her too. Not just for you, Abram, but I will bless your wife and will surely give you a son by her. How amazing is that? Just let God's word speak to you. This is the God who is capable of anything. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations, just as you are the father of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. How lovely is that? Next slide. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Is this possible?" I think up till that point, I don't know, but I think up to that point, Abraham thought, hadn't realized that Sarah would be involved in this promise. I think if he thought that God was going to give a child, Ishmael was the one, or something else would happen differently. But it dawned on him that Sarah was to be equal part in this promise. What about Ishmael? Next slide, thanks. Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." In other words, we've already got a son, Lord. Could he not be the one? Is he not going to be the one? I think he's struggling to believe this. And you and I wouldn't be surprised at that. Next slide. Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah..." Have you got this, Abraham? "Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac," which means he laughs. "I will establish my covenant with Isaac as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Sarah will bear you a son, and you're to call him Isaac." Next slide, thank you. "But I've not forgotten Ishmael. I have heard you, and I will surely bless him too. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful. He will greatly increase in numbers too. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. He will be blessed too." I've not forgotten him. But, next slide, thanks. But actually, Abraham, are you listening? Are you hearing, Abraham? "My covenant will be established with Isaac," not with Ishmael. "With Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." And he would be 100 years old. Next slide, thanks. And so we read this, verse 22. "When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up." End of conversation. "Abraham, that's my promise. To you, to Sarah, to Ishmael, but my covenant will be with this new son, Isaac, whom Sarah will bear." Next slide. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God had told them. So, at the start, everybody had to be circumcised, no matter what age they were. Now, I can tell you, I worked in children's surgery. Circumcision is not painless. And at 100 years old, that would be painful. At 13 years old, when Isaac was circumcised, it would be painful. And it says something of the faith of this man, that he went and did this in the instructions of God to the whole household. He was a rich, well-off man with many servants. Next slide, thanks. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. His son was 13, Ishmael. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day. Next slide, thank you. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. absolute obedience. When the Lord calls us to be his children, he says, I want you to obey me. I want you to listen to my word and do what I say. And so from this passage, next slide, what lessons do we learn? We've picked up many of them on the way through. And the first is this about God. He has a plan for the world. This broken, sinful, desperately sad world, God has a plan to redeem it. God has a plan to rescue it. And that plan started before the creation of the world. But secondly, he has a plan for individual lives, for your life. As you sit here in Nethy Church on the 10th of March 2019 at approximately 10:28 a.m. He has a plan for your life to fit in with his bigger plan, to help others, to bring God to others, to bring redemption to others, to help him. We find that God is faithful to his promise, because the promise he had made to Abraham way back at the beginning in chapter 12, he was beginning to fulfill, and he was explaining it to Abraham more and more. He is faithful to his promises. When God promises you something, he is faithful. He will never rescind that promise. He will carry it through. But he looks to us for trust. He says, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me when I say I will never leave you or forsake you? Do you trust me when I say I am your strength when you are weak? Do you trust me when I say if you confess your sin, you will be forgiven? Do you trust me when I say that I will be your guide when you don't know the direction to take? Do you trust me when I say, will you wait until this happens, this thing that I have promised to you? Do you trust me at all? With your life? And the last thing about God here, there's many more things, but the last thing is he just wants to bless us. He just wants to bless the world. He's not there to spoil our fun, he is there to bless. Next slide, thank you. And that promise of God was fulfilled eventually through Jesus Christ, that promise to Abraham. He would come from Abraham's line. And in Romans chapter 4, Paul explains this, and he says this: Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith in Christ. And that's you. If you have faith in Christ, Abraham is your spiritual ancestor. He is the one, in a sense, who almost started it all off by believing, even though he had no evidence to believe, just trusted God. So the promise of forgiveness and a renewed relationship with God is received by faith. How did you come into God's family? You came into God's family when you came to believe in Jesus. You didn't do anything. The Lord didn't say to you, I want you to do so many tasks and then you'll come into my family. No, no, the work was all done by Jesus. And he said, I just want you to believe. It's received by faith. It's a free gift, although it cost Jesus everything. And we are all certain to receive it if we have the faith like Abraham. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. So this great man, who was made great and blessed by God, is our spiritual father, ancestor, if you like. Next slide, thank you. And so, Abraham, what did he do? He listened to God. Are you listening? Are you listening? What did he say to you this morning? When you woke up and you talked to him in the morning, did you stop and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Or when you read the scriptures, what did he say to you through the word of God this morning? Or when you came out and just saw the beautiful countryside here, did you allow God to speak and say, I made this for you. I want to bless you through it. He listened to God and he trusted him implicitly. He went ahead and circumcised the whole male family that very day. Without question, he obeyed. Has God asked you to do something? Has God asked you to put something right in your life? Has God asked you to go and apologize to somebody? Has God asked you to take a different direction in your life, to make a phone call, to apply for a job? Has God asked you just to be the person in this village that he wants you to be? Just obey. And we read this, that Abraham waited 25 years before the son was born, Isaac was born. And he was blessed and became a blessing as a result. He fitted into God's redemption plan. When you and I do God's will, we are slotting into his plan. And we have a purpose that is far greater than our own. And it may be just doing what we think are the simple wee tasks each day. And God is just using you to help somebody else come closer to him. God promises to be your God forever. He promises his presence, his power, his strength, his hope. He promises his peace, his love, his forgiveness, his grace. He promises just to be with you. Is there any promise as great as that? There isn't. This eternal God to be with you. And there may be things in your life that are churning you up just now. And God is, I was going to say, sitting here. Well, he is in a sense sitting here, and he's saying, listen, I'm with you in this. Do you understand that? I am with you in this. Trust me. And wait for God to fulfill his purposes in your life. And sometimes it takes a long time. Next slide, thank you. Next slide. Oh yes, here we are. Eric Alexander had him preach a sermon in the 1980s in St. George's Troy. At least I had a recording of it. And I'll never forget this. He says this, and when he was talking about Abraham, he said this, the purposes of God are so good, so wonderful, that it is well worth waiting 30 years for them to be fulfilled. Abraham and Sarah tried to preempt God's promise by having Ishmael, but that wasn't God's purpose, and he had to wait another 13, 14 years before, or 11 or 12 years before Isaac was born. God's purposes for your life and for mine are so good. Just wait for him to fulfill them. Lena and I were blessed just a couple of weeks ago. I was in Edinburgh and there was a chap at our door, and in came a girl who had been in our YF in Cartsbridge Church 30, 35 years ago. She was a tearaway. She was a disaster in the making. In fact, she was totally made disaster. She was adopted and her parents didn't like her. And she didn't like them. She ran away from home several times. We were out looking for her in the middle of the night many a time around that area. And she came to the YF and she came to faith, but she drifted away and then disappeared. Never heard from her. Chapped at the door and she just came in. And do you know what she came in to say? Thank you. Thank you, at the age of 40 or whatever she is now. Thank you for leading me to Christ. 30 odd years. Two teenage daughters who are serving the Lord. God's purposes are so good. They're worth waiting. Don't rush on. Wait. But trust him. He will fulfill his purposes. Isn't that wonderful?
We'll have a wee team here to pray for anyone who would like that in response to what's been said. But before we finish, we're going to sing Blessed Assurance, which leads beautifully from what Alistair was chatting about. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.